This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Top Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. I never thought when we were waiting for Aaron Rodgers as long as we were with the Jets, that just a couple years later we'd be sitting here waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision and it involving the New York Giants. But here we are, one big quarterback move. And yes, it was big in the sense of where everybody else was going to go, is that Daniel Jones came off the board. I know that it's funny to say that, but people were waiting to see where he was going to go. So he goes to the Indianapolis Colts. Now I'm thinking after that, we're going to see bing, bang, boom. We are not. Aaron Rodgers takes his time. So the Steelers we know are still involved. The Giants we know are still involved. Are the Minnesota Vikings involved? There's conflicting reports there. But here we are again in a holding pattern on the tarmac with Aaron Rodgers being the person who is in control. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning. I wish I were 20 years younger, demanding $40 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's basically what it's going to take, at least that. I mean, when you think about all the other quarterbacks in the league that are making 40 or more million dollars, and you know that the Giants and the Raiders went up to $100 million from Matthew Stafford, I can understand why, if in fact all the reports are true, that Aaron Rodgers would want that much money. I'd want that much money too. I mean, like, hell, you got to get what you can get, and every player has got to go through, you know, their mental gymnastics to figure out which team is best for him and how much money they're willing to pay. I will say this, that your team, the Minnesota Vikings, is building one hell of a team via free agency. And I don't believe that Kevin O'Connell is just going to hand the reins over to J.J. McCarthy. At this moment, it looks that way. But I just can't believe that they're not going to bring somebody else in, especially after losing Daniel Jones. Not that Daniel Jones would have been the answer out there, but they're going to have to do something now because Daniel decided to go to the Colts and fight it out with Anthony Richardson. He probably feels like he has a better chance to start there. And maybe internally when he was at Minnesota, he saw and heard exactly what the expectations were for J.J. McCarthy, and that's why he left. I would say now for Aaron Rodgers, it's one of three teams. And if it comes down to money, then I think, to me, if I were him, I'd try to go to Minnesota. If secondly, I would try to go to Pittsburgh. And then third, I would go to the Giants. That would be the third team on the list. And unfortunately for the Giants, I mean, they're just getting left at the altar left and right. And it may end up being Russell Wilson.
Well, I do think that if Aaron Rodgers is sticking to the money side of this more than I want to end my career winning, which I thought he would want to end his career winning, then he's going to take the Giants' money if the Giants are going to offer more, because there is no way
that the Minnesota Vikings, with what they did in free agency yesterday, are going to pay Aaron Rodgers $40 million a year. The whole point that they wanted to do was to draft this guy number 10 overall and J.J. McCarthy, have him on a rookie contract. They don't have a lot of draft picks this year, and build the team through free agency. So they could have dealt with Daniel Jones at $14 million, maybe being the starter for a couple games or the backup. But their plan does not include, this is why Sam Darnold is on the Seahawks, a guy who's asking for $40 million. Now, the Giants, because they have been left at the altar and have a ton of cap space, and the cap went up, and they got a desperate team, and meaning the ownership, the GM, and the coach, they might be the only team that offers Aaron Rodgers $40 million.
Right, but I also think that Pittsburgh's in the same boat in terms of their coaching staff.
Man.
I'm telling you, I know it's hard to believe
that. But they would never give him that money.
Well, listen, they just gave $150 million to DK Metcalf.
He's a young wide receiver.
And here's the other thing. They are in the AFC North. Now, I know Deshaun Watson's not playing, but he got $230 million guaranteed. They got Joe Burrow in there, $250 million. They got Lamar Jackson in there, $250 million. I mean, you're not going to get a bargain basement quarterback to go into that division and win it. I mean, if you really want to win and you think the best opportunity for you, and they have nobody else on the roster right now, by the way. Now, they can still run it back with Russell Wilson, and I'm sure Russell Wilson's looking for a hefty raise from somebody because he's going to want to be a starting quarterback. He is a Super Bowl winner. He may end up going to the Hall of Fame. You know, these guys are not like, I think the idea was that Pittsburgh was going to be able to do what they did last year. We're going to bring Justin Fields in. We're going to bring in Russell Wilson, and I forget who else they had on that roster. And we're going to basically pay our quarterback position nothing. And we're going to try to see if we can win with the roster that we have. Well, now at least they went out there and got that big wide receiver. Now, if they really want to truly win and they want a guy like Aaron Rodgers to come play for him, he's not coming for nothing. He's just not. Even though he's guaranteed $75 million by the Jets, you know, that will be all paid out. And the Jets do have a pretty nice cap hit, dead cap hit because of it. I mean, they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay either him or Russell Wilson a significant more amount of money than they paid last year.
So if Aaron Rodgers, you think that fair market value, and Mike Florio says the same thing, is $40 million?
If I'm Aaron Rodgers, yes.
Okay, so what do you think, Russell Wilson? Same thing?
I would ask the same thing? I would think somewhere, I would say somewhere around $35 million, $30 to $35 million at minimum, I would think. But then again, you know, it's like, these teams are desperate. You have to understand. They are desperate.
The Giants definitely are desperate.
If they go and draft one of these quarterbacks at number three, great. They're going to throw them out there, and then what?
Yeah, I don't think that then those guys will probably get fired if that quarterback isn't Jaden Daniels. All right, so the Steelers, to me, because they did the DK Metcalf thing, doesn't mean that they have completely changed their organizational philosophy, and then now they're going to come in. I don't know what you're scoffing at. Their organizational philosophy is to not pay guys who are 41 years old $40 million a year.
I know that, but
they've never done something like that.
What is the alternative? Is it Carson Wentz? Is it Gardner Minshew? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think it's bringing back Russell Wilson, and I don't think he gets as much as... No. I think it'd be less than that. I can't see how the market... I mean, I just can't see how they're going to get that much.
It's DK Metcalf, and because he and Russell Wilson do have a relationship on the field, I could see that. I'm not saying I can't see that. I'm just, why the hell are the Steelers going to get wide receivers? Why? Because, DeAndre Hopkins is now going to Baltimore. I don't know really how much he has left. But when you look at the other teams in this division, especially the Bengals, who are going to have, the greatest show on turf again, why would you sign wide receivers if you don't have a quarterback that can get them the ball?
That they probably thought that they would get Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson for cheaper. That's what I think that they thought. And they still may if that number comes down, if no one else wants them. So, the teams that are still looking for quarterbacks are who? Are the Titans involved right now? I don't know. Are they? It doesn't sound like it. I told you the Vikings, there's no way they're paying Aaron Rodgers $40 million a year. I would be absolutely floored if that were the case. So you got the Giants, you got the Steelers. So both of those are the two desperate teams right now for different reasons.
Well, all I know is that both coaching staffs are in the same situation. I think this could be the end of Mike Tomlin if they have a losing record. I mean, I know it's hard to even fathom that. And he will be a very hot commodity on the open market. There's no question about it. But I just can't fathom them going into the season with a very mediocre quarterback situation after spending all this money on DK Metcalf. Who's going to look great in a
suit?
Look great in a Pittsburgh uniform.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a mediocre quarterback situation no matter where they go, in my opinion, because it'll be Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, who, I mean, I don't know why all of a sudden everybody thinks that this guy could still do it after a couple of good games last year. You know, like, that's it?
You know, I did a Sports Minute on Aaron Rodgers and his injuries last year. And the injury that I was really specifically talking about was the Achilles injury and how long it really truly takes to get back from that injury. And it usually is over a year. And he is now a year removed from it. I'm sure he's probably in better shape. He's got a lot to prove if he wants to continue to play. I would think, you know, to me, somehow trying to get to Minnesota would be the thing, but then it would be Pittsburgh, then it would be the Giants. I mean, and that's just the way it is, unless the Giants are going to pay significantly more money.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
they're the only ones that really truly want them.
I mean, and also, I mean, I think it was really Florio who put this out there with the $40 million a year. He said it was an educated guess, meaning that he at least has someone or an agent or somebody that's talking to him about this. But Aaron Rodgers, there is a history, and I don't think he'll do it twice, but there is a history of him taking less money. Like, he ended up taking less money and taking a pay cut to come to the Jets because he thought that was the right situation.
And he also blew his an Achilles out. I mean, you know, it's
what,
like...
What I'm saying, though, is he got every cent of that.
But it's not like he didn't do anything. He blew his Achilles out. And, you know, the other thing, too, is...
Well, that's not what I'm saying. The point that I'm saying is he did once before take less money to go to a situation where he thought it was right. So maybe he does that again with these two other teams that he thinks are better options than the Giants. Or the Giants say, hey, we're going to be the only team that gives you $40 million over the next 2 years. And he says, hell, I'm going to do that because no one else is going to give it to me.
Hey, if the Giants are willing to go $100 million with Matthew Stafford... I mean, I don't understand. You know, you go $40 million and you grab one of these quarterbacks, and you know, you have an opt out for next year. You know, that's basically the way you got to do it. And then you got to hope this quarterback that you draft is the guy that's going to actually take you to the next level. And you better hope that Aaron Rodgers takes you to the playoffs. I mean, look, they are. How many times we talked about this after the combine? Many people at the combine were talking about how the Giants. Including, I guess, specifically Joe Shane was saying, you know, we're just a quarterback away. We're just a quarterback away. We just got to find the right guy. Okay. Yeah, you had a very short period of time to find that right guy.
Yeah, I mean, and
if it's going to be a rookie, then forget it.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody's a quarterback away if that quarterback turns out to be Patrick Mahomes or Jaden Daniels or, you know, you go back to Peyton Manning on and on and
well,
on.
Even,
everybody's
even,
a quarterback
even
away.
Peyton Manning and Joe Burrow, you look at their first years, they were horrendous. Troy Aikman was horrendous his rookie year. I mean, those guys, you know, Troy Aikman, I think, was 1-15 his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're asking a lot. I mean, to have a guy like C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels do what they did their rookie years, man, that is an outlier. There is so much struggle, and these two kids that are at the top of this draft, supposedly, while they may end up turning out to be good players, they don't have. You know, I guess Shador because of the offense that he ran in Colorado, and because you know it was a pro style offense. You know, maybe he has a little bit of a head start on Cam Ward in that regard, but you put him out there against that Philadelphia defense, whatever it's going to look like, or that any of these defenses, the Washington defense, where they're moving everybody around. I mean, his head's going to be spinning, and that's just normal. That's normal for everybody that plays the position.
Well, I mean, I think that the Giants are going to end up with one of the two guys, and the Steelers are going to end up with one of the two guys, and where those numbers are still remains to be seen. But
when
I
you
mean,
say one of the two guys,
Russell Wilson Russell. And Aaron Rodgers, that's what's going to happen as far as the veteran goes. And then, you know, the Steelers aren't going to draft a quarterback, I don't think. Maybe later on, we'll see. They could, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, I think that's where I think both teams know that they have to have veterans, and one's going to end up with one and the other one's going to end up with the other. And if they, depending on how desperate they really feel they need to be, they may have to go to numbers they're uncomfortable with, but The way it has to go, right?
Well, here you go. You got Trey Lance, Taylor Heineke, Marcus Mariota, Drew Lock, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, Case Keenum, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, it's
Rudolph.
All slop. We don't have to read all their names. They're all terrible. They all suck.
I'm just telling you. This is where it is right now.
But those two guys, we got two teams with two quarterbacks out there that they're going to end up on one of these two teams, no?
And by the way, today is the first day of the new league year for the NFL. So happy
new league year.
Happy new league year.
Yes. I left a bouquet of flowers on your desk for that.
Oh, you did?
I do that every year, yes.
Well, that's very, yes.
New league year flowers. That's what I do.
That is awesome.
Yes, yep. It just brightens it up. It's springtime. You know, that's the way it feels.
Somebody did something with the blanket in my office. Like, they put it over the back of my couch and laid it out somehow. I don't know if somebody stayed in there or...
Jerry did recently.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he slept in there one of the days you were out.
I didn't know that, so he did it.
Had to have been, yeah. It had to have been.
I did not know he slept in there.
Yeah, no,
and he's more than welcome.
No, yeah, I mean, he's got a key for that exact reason. He gave him a key, he's had to sleep in there, so.
100%.
No one was in there messing with your stuff. It was just Jerry who had to sleep in there.
They did a nice job of, like, you know, putting it back together. He actually did a really nice job.
I mean, he's an adult and he's a respectful man.
So he's at the Big Ten tournament now.
Yeah, he's out in Indianapolis.
So they made it. Who are they playing?
USC. Got thoughts on that? Because I don't.
No, not really.
They got USC. And then, Eddie, if they win that game, they play Purdue.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what Eddie likes to say. Purdue.
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 So, yeah, that's where they're at right now. So, and I believe they beat USC twice already this year. Once. They beat them once. Okay.
There you go.
So there you
go. We're all over it.
Well, not really.
I mean, we're more Maryland and St. John's right now.
Sure, that is correct. But I do follow Jerry Recco and Rutgers and what's going on there.
Well, this is where they have to make hay, as they say, today.
Well, yeah, I mean, today and then... The next game and the next game.
Yeah, but today,
and the next
game. You got to worry about today. What's right
sure.
in front of you? Is that today? What time do they play?
I want to say 8:30.
Yeah, they're the latest game in the
because they're the biggest market. Two biggest markets.
I can't believe I had that many answers on Rutgers basketball just then. When they're playing, who they're playing, who they play next. I don't know how.
You know what that is?
That fell into my lap somehow and in my brain.
That super prep, because you knew we were going to talk football. You know we're going to end up talking baseball.
Yeah.
And then you just did a little super prep for the NCAA tournament. Now, this is the obviously the conference tournaments.
Yeah. I just think, I know, I was more concerned about what Jerry was doing and where he was going, I think, that led me to those facts. Not so much about Rutgers basketball, but we'll see. Hopefully they win one game at least, and then this whole Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper thing didn't exactly work out for them.
That's exactly right. That's why I said...
Make hay
as they play today.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. As we mentioned, Jerry with Rutgers Big Ten tournament out in Indianapolis. So that means CeeLo is back with us this morning. What's happening, Chris?
Good morning. Brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. You want to check that game out tonight, 8:15 coverage on WFAN AM. And, of course, the free Odyssey app as well. Yes, the game on AM, and you can check it out on the app. You know, sometimes these conference tournament games, I think they have the last game of the slate tonight. So
they do.
Could get kicked back a little bit, depending on what happens in the earlier games. But, yes, you got Rutgers and USC tonight in Indianapolis. All right, so Daniel Jones is an Indianapolis Colt, or will be, sometime after the new league year begins today at 4 o'clock. Got himself a one-year deal, $13 million guaranteed, max value of 17.7. And it was among the topics or realities that had our guy Al do. Luke's all fired up to start the warm-up show this morning to the point where
I got here early today and I missed the beginning of the warm-up show.
So this, boy.
Generally, this is audio I've heard. This is fresh audio for me, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Now, the whole first segment was chock full of Al goodies. But,
yeah, he was angry at multiple topics.
Yes.
Nice. Rutgers basketball and the interminable season. And
wow.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Just showed up this morning all pissed off.
Oh, my God. No. That nobody cares was these two were going over the minutiae of a basketball schedule. It's like, no one cares.
Okay. But to be fair, he did ask about where Jerry was, and that's what led us down that path.
And then all of a sudden, he got angry because no one cares.
That's right. Nobody cares.
Right. Because they were going, like, oh, there's a 10:06 tip-off, and then if there's 11, and then if Rutgers win, there's a 6:09.
Nobody cares. Did he snap?
No, he didn't. He came close. He was on the fringe. And then I know better now, so I backed down.
No.
It was too early.
You don't know better. You have to accentuate his snappiness.
Okay. Had I accentuated his snappiness, though, we wouldn't have got this interesting thought from Al, which is what I wanted to bring to the table.
Because he went
this far to illustrate, I guess I could say it this way, just how little he thinks of Daniel Jones.
If I had to get a first down... That's it. I had to get a first down in the game.
Okay.
And you said, here are your options. It's 2025. You could have Daniel Jones behind a really good offensive line or Boomer Esiason at 63 years old.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you, it's not a straight up Daniel Jones. It's not.
All right. So that's part
Thank
one.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate that. That's very nice.
Yes. Now, I wanted to clarify something.
Well, but then again, you and I have played football together.
Yeah.
And you know what it's about.
And I've seen Daniel Jones play football.
Get your ass open and catch the ball, even if you're on your knees.
Well, there you go. And that's kind of what he reiterated here.
One play? You got to get a first down. So maybe it takes you three plays.
Okay, so you got one series.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying no to Boomer immediately. Because I know Boomer can't take a hit and Boomer can't run. But my guess is Boomer could get a ball to a wide receiver better than Daniel Jones right now.
There you go. Get open. You'll put
that
it on him.
Awesome, Al. I appreciate
that. Do you agree with him?
No, not really. But I appreciate that, though. It made me feel good this morning.
See, I wouldn't say that about Daniel Jones as much as I would say it about Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I'd probably still say Zach just because he's so young, but that would be my thing where I was like, you know what? I would almost take Boomer over Zach Wilson. I feel like Daniel Jones... running ability maybe could grab that first down if he had to desperately.
So here's my take on Zach Wilson right now as we sit here.
Right now.
All right, so last year he sat there and what did he do? He watched Sean Payton and Bo Nix, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm laughing at Pat Boyle's touchdown pass reception from you.
Lefty to lefty, running the, what was that, like the Philly special there?
Yeah, I ran the Philly special.
That was tremendous.
So anyway, you have Zach Wilson being exposed to Sean Payton and Bo Nix and how a quarterback is going to be treated by a real head coach that knows the position, that's going to get on your ass if you make a mistake, as opposed to like patting you on the back and coddling you.
Which is what Mike McDaniel is.
Right, so, but now he goes to Mike McDaniel, and he's going to have a really good offense. He's going to be exposed to yet another great system, and maybe not this year, but maybe next year when he's a little bit older, a little bit more mature, maybe he finds himself in an opportunity where he can resurrect his career. I know you don't think that, but I'm just telling you that, that there's a possibility, just like Sam Darnold has, just like Baker Mayfield has. I mean, there's a reason why all these guys are on these different teams, but I just think that there's a chance because of who he has been exposed to over the last 2 years, the environments may be more conducive to a productive quarterback. I'm not saying a superstar. I'm just saying a productive quarterback.
That narrative is out there. I don't know if you saw Albert Breer's tweet.
Oh, it's a narrative now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a narrative.
Well, I guess it is because after the Wilson signing went down, this was Albert Breer quote tweeting Diana Rossini's tweet about him going to Miami. And he wrote, based on what people in Denver were saying about Wilson after the season, I would not dismiss this signing.
But they decided to keep Jared Stidham as their backup over him, let him go.
Probably didn't have the money to pay him.
How much money did he get from Miami?
$6 million.
Yeah, didn't Stidham get 2 for $12, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. Hello?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying that.
I mean, I know you're hoping for failure.
I'm not hoping for failure. I'm just making a point that what we heard out of Denver, they chose the other guy over him to be the backup. So that's just a bunch of BS.
You just never know, man.
Well, he may end up being a productive quarterback in your dream scenario. I'm just saying that, what I'm refuting is that what we heard out of Denver. If it was so great in Denver, then sign him instead of Jared Stidham for the same amount of money.
Yeah. Listen, I don't dream about Zach Wilson. All I'm doing is bringing up a possibility, for God's sake.
Once again, I'm not arguing your point.
Okay. Sounds like it. I'm sitting here talking about
it. It doesn't sound like it at all. It's somehow in entering your brain a different way. I'm refuting what Diana Rossini said about them loving him in Denver.
Well, no, what Albert Breer said.
Albert Breer said, quote tweeting Diana Rossini about them loving him in Denver.
But you love you some Diana Rossini.
I love when she stirs the pot up with the Jets and gets in there and it's fun, you know?
Yes.
I think it's great.
Okay. MILFs.
See, I mean,
Al Dukes.
All right.
I mean,
let me give you one more Al thing before we move on.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. Another thing bothering him about legal tampering, this new fad where the big shot reporters in their posts to X about the new contract agreements give credit by name to the agents who negotiate them. He doesn't like that.
It's like when John Heyman, like on a Tuesday night, would be like, I have to catch up on credit. Bill Schlopface gave me, was the first to report. No one cares.
Was that Slopface or Schlopface?
Schlopface.
Okay.
Like, nobody cares.
Can't even believe it.
Exactly.
There's a lot of name calling this morning.
You're kind of right about that. Nobody does care.
Schlopface, he dropped a schmucks according this morning. Losers.
According to Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Schlopface signed with the Bears.
Well, he called Drew Rosenhaus something, too. Megalomaniac, egomaniac.
There were so many things, and I didn't have time to sift through that whole first segment.
He was mad at Teslas.
Oh,
or people burning Teslas.
Right, yeah. Everyone wanted electric cars, and now they're setting Teslas on fire. Yeah.
Well, fans certainly do not give a crap about who the agents are.
Yeah.
But I think what happens there is the agents are smart getting these names out there. So other players maybe that aren't getting the deals, like this deal was negotiated by whoever. And then a player may be like, man, my agent can't get this. I'm going to call that guy and be part of his crew.
Al's point, though, was like, why are the reporters catering to this as if the agents are?
Because they need information.
Yeah, but he's of the opinion that, what, are they going to withhold the information because they don't give them credit?
Maybe.
Like, are they really going to put the info out there about their clients?
Could be.
I mean, these guys live on breaking these things first.
No, I know that. But there was a time where they were just breaking them without having to mention the agent.
You know, it's amazing. Like, Al should realize this because he's in the media business and there is competition in this business. And for those guys who are the insiders, that's their competition. They get it first, no matter where they get it from. And I understand you're annoyed because they give the agents credit because that's where they're getting the news from, which tells you everything that I've told you, that they get, that's where they get most, almost 90% of it comes from the agents.
But Drew Rosenhaus wants that news out anyway.
Yeah, just because of what Gio just said.
Right, but so he wants Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, the two biggest names, to have it. So mm-hmm. At some point there was an explicit, I will give this to you if you put me in your tweet, which is very odd. Seems strange.
Again, it's promotion.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's promotion. It's exactly what that is. So if you're, and then these players pay attention. Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday was going over like every contract that the Bears had signed. And he's going, this guy went there, this guy went there, this guy. So all those guys are getting the information the way that we are. So if you're a free agent thinking like, I'm not getting any bites. And then you keep looking up, and that one name I kept seeing yesterday, I never even knew, was like David Muffaletta or something, Mugaletta. It's like that guy,
like that signed, agent. Yeah.
Yeah, he signed like 50 contracts. So I'm sitting around and be like, you know, where the hell's my guy?
Is he a part of
CAA? Dum-dum, what's going on?
Is he Mugaletta from CAA?
I'm not sure. I don't know. But someone knows. There's players know. You know, and then the agent calls up. I see 50 deals from Muffaletta, and you're not doing bleep. Muffaletta. Let's go. Get out. Do I need to hire Muffaletta?
Yeah, get off your ass and let's go. Yes,
there you exactly. go. You guys had the Javon Holland to the Giants news during yesterday's show.
We broke that, 45 million.
Oh, yeah, we broke that, but according to Muffaletta.
Meaning
Muffaletta,
something actually happened while this show was on the air.
Yes.
You know, actual news, so, which is nice. He recently addressed his free agency on the Breaking House Rules podcast, honestly, and actually read aloud criteria he wrote down for what he was looking for from his new team.
Detailed and experienced coaching, a player supportive ownership, just honest culture setting, men leading head coach with a goal and a standard he holds everybody to. A team that wants to win and has players with like-mindedness about the team's goals and standards, leaders that want to lead and set examples by action, not by the words.
Does that all sound like the current state of the Giants?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Perfect.
A lot of
If you had just played that and didn't give us the context, I would have said he's talking about the 2025 New York Giants.
100%.
Check every box.
There you go.
How about the team that pays me the most money?
Well, that's what I mean. Exactly. He can write down whatever criteria he wants.
Yeah, as long as they're paying me the money.
There you go.
Yep.
Speaking of paying the money, Joey Bosa to the Bills, 1 year, $12.6 million as he lands in a new home. DeAndre Hopkins to the Ravens on a one-year deal, and the Niners cut another veteran. That was Leonard Floyd, who started all 17 games for them a year ago, and within like an hour, he was a member of the Falcons, or excuse me.
Goes back to the Falcons.
Falcons. Was he on the Falcons, or he's a Georgia guy? Isn't that he's going back to?
He's going back home. He's going back home.
Right. I don't think he ever played for them yet, though, did he?
I want to say he was a first round draft pick.
No, I remember that. Was it the Falcons though? Maybe it was.
Or was it the Bears? I don't remember. By the way, the
just
NFL,
Google it.
Oh, all right, we will. By the way, the NFL did release the amount of compensatory picks for this upcoming
and we're
going to
read
draft.
Every single one of them coming up at 7 o'clock. We're going to go through all of them.
I think the important thing is that the Cowboys, Ravens, and Dolphins and 49ers all have four compensatory picks.
Is that important?
Yes, it is very important.
The Giants got themselves a third-round pick for losing Xavier McKinney when they thought it was going to be a fourth.
Well, that's the point. Like, when you lose a guy like that, you know, it's not like you're losing him for nothing. You're going to end up getting something back. And because of Xavier McKinney's play, they ended up giving them a third-round pick. He's the top 100 pick, I believe.
Didn't want, 99, I believe.
Yeah,
didn't want to pay that safety, but Javon Holland.
But that's a good pick that they ended up getting.
Sure. That's what they can do with it, you know? A little college football-related audio for you. Here's West Virginia head coach Rich Rodriguez saying he'll allow his players to continue using TikTok, but no dancing videos allowed.
I mean, they're going to be on it, so I'm not banning them from. I just banning them from dancing on it, you know? It's like, don't look, we try to have a hard edge, whatever, and you're in there, you know, in your tights, you know, dancing on TikTok. Ain't quite the image of our program that I want.
All right, but down
sissy
the road.
Football.
Yeah, we don't ain't sissy football.
Down the road, after you're done playing for us, you have at it, do whatever you want.
20 years from now, they want to be sitting in their pajamas in the basement, eating Cheetos and watching TikTok or whatever the hell, they can go at it. Smoking cannabis, whatever. I mean, knock yourself out. Wow. But, you know, the hope or focus can be on winning football games. You know, let's How about let's win the football game and not worry about winning
my
the
man's
TikTok.
Speaking the
winning
truth.
The TikTok.
My man's yeah. speaking the truth right
now. I guess he really believes in the future of his players there. When all of you guys are in your basement eating Cheetos, smoking weed.
20 years from now.
I mean, Jesus.
Oh, well, maybe they're all, by that time, retired NFL players.
Well, yeah, well, hopefully for them, I guess.
I didn't realize the dancing on TikTok was, you know, such a distraction for these guys, these college football players.
Yeah, I didn't, I don't know. I told you what my algorithm gives me. It's not dancing college football players, right. I'll tell you that much. I don't know if that's going on, but.
The algorithm thing is fascinating. Like him this morning, Al, everything was Tesla's being lit on fire. Mm-hmm. I had none of that. My feed Boomer's full of hockey highlights.
Yeah, I know.
And Gio, what do you get?
It's boobs, boat, and golf.
Right.
That's what it is every single time.
I mean, that's accurate.
Yeah.
He's a BBG guy.
Yeah.
These algorithms are on top of things. Adam Schein, our pal, taking the Garrett New Garrett
Boobs,
Fold news.
Boats, and golf. That's what my algorithm gives me.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Well, he's taking the Garrett Cole news hard.
Uh-oh.
On his SiriusXM show yesterday.
Time of death. 7:11 Eastern time last night. It's over. Rest in peace, 2025. New York Yankees. I hate sports. I despise sports. I loathe sports.
Which, as you know, is the opposite of his usual take.
I'm always, you gotta love sports. My New York Yankees. You could have knocked me over in the head with a baseball bat yesterday. I mean, just take an absolute mighty cut to my noggin. That would have felt better than getting the news that Garrett Cole's done for the year.
See,
this sucks.
And I love Adam, you know that.
Of course.
I mean, but he's the ultimate NARP. He's given up on the season already?
I got my NARP posse sweatshirt on.
I see
on
you
today.
Got your NARP posse sweatshirt on today, and I appreciate that, but I can't give up.
Listen, I know we're all doing shows here, and you do what you have to do, but do you think he cares that deeply about the Yankees still? Does he seem to you, like Evan, we know, when something happens with the Mets or the Nets, like he's emotionally affected.
Yeah, because he has to go do his Rico Bronio. What's his Net podcast? Does he have one of those?
He doesn't have a Net podcast?
No, but doesn't he have like an instant reaction to
probably,
something?
Probably, yeah.
It's called If a Tree Falls in the Forest.
Yeah.
That's his podcast. But you see, Schein is one of those guys.
Here's the thing. It's hard for me to tell with Schein because he, I think, presents as if he cares and is passionate about a lot of things relating to sports.
But he's a Yankee fan.
Well, yeah, sure.
He's definitely a Yankee fan.
Yeah. I mean, that's clear based on what he says.
But then again, like, the season's not over. Let's go. Let's play.
It's not over. It hasn't started.
You got Max Fried.
Oh, my God.
Not like you don't have anybody.
Yeah. Who's not going to pitch opening day because they don't want to knock him off his schedule, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes,
we'll get
one
some,
effing day.
Yeah, I know.
It's one day.
It's the pitching lab theory.
One day!
One day, and it's still weeks away.
I know!
You make the adjustment there.
Didn't happen like the
what
you know,
adjustment?
Yeah. I'm saying, could you, it, you have time. It's not like we're starting the season in a couple of days, we're going to bump him up.
With all the goddamn injuries that these pitchers have, do these schedules actually work?
No.
No!
No.
Mm-hmm. None of it works.
Yeah. Will you guys have any interest in hearing from Brian Cashman next hour, or no? I know you don't like Aaron Boone. You want to hear from Cashman? He did speak yesterday.
I do, yeah. We'll do that next. Yeah, we'll do that
awesome.
Later.
Awesome. The Nets almost beat the Cavs, but they didn't. 109-104, their second 15-game winning streak of the season. Rangers lost in Winnipeg 2-1. The Islanders lost to the Kings 4-1, and the Devils beat a Columbus team that smoked the Rangers the other night 5-3.
Yeah, well,
so
I was thinking
the Devils were going to come back to the pack,
left.
And now they're winning all kinds of games.
Go 12-5, maybe you make the playoffs.
Okay, great.
All right, very good. We'll see you
suck,
next.
Suck, suck, suck. Suck, suck, suck. You suck.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, waiting for the Giants quarterback situation to come into focus a little bit more. We know that the draft could be a part of that, big part of that, but also free agency and getting a veteran in. All they have is Tommy DeVito on the roster now, and I'm glad that Tommy is still with the Giants, but it's going to take more than that to go into the season at that position. They got to add to that room a little bit. Let's go to Chad, who's down in Tampa, Florida. Good morning, Chad. What's happening?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good,
I just wanted to follow up on the Zach Wilson thing. Gio, you missed a very important part here. I mean, basically, Zach, you know, they were negotiating with Zach, and they didn't choose Stidman over Zach. Zach was a free agent. They wanted to bring him back, and Zach.
And how do you know that?
Well, just by just doing a little research.
Now, I did a lot of research, and there was never a story on the Broncos offering Zach Wilson a contract.
They were negotiating with him. Zach chose.
How do you know
Miami.
That? Talk to his agent. So then, why did Stidham sign a day before Zach Wilson for the same amount of money?
Because Zach was already kind of talking with Miami, basically, and
you
he
know
chose
that
Miami.
How.
Again, if there's some articles out there and they were
are there because I couldn't find
shows.
A single one of them that I was Googling in the break. So and also
Zach
if they loved hold
Zach
on
went to Miami
Chad
based
Chad
on
if they loved
history.
Zach Wilson so much in Denver, then why did they make him the third quarterback and then never made him the backup last year?
They wanted basically the same thing the Jets were doing. They wanted him to take a step back and just and sit for a year. But he chose Miami based all on right. to his injury history. Yeah. He has a way better chance.
Yeah, all right. Sure. If you want to believe that, if you want to be the Zach Wilson truther, fine. Jared Stidham signed first. Zach Wilson left after that. Now, if you want to tell me that he's got a better chance to play in Miami, fine. But you cannot tell me that the Denver Broncos were all over Zach Wilson and love Zach Wilson. They had an opportunity to keep him. They had an opportunity to make him a backup. Last year, there was a three quarterback competition at the beginning of camp between Nick Stidham and Wilson. And then 1 week into camp, he put Zach Wilson to the side and said, now it's a two quarterback competition
Zach
between
Wilson sucks.
Stidham and Nick's. So, like, whatever. All the best to him. But don't tell me that the Denver Broncos are salivating over keeping Zach Wilson when every fact contradicts that. Whitey and Bayshore, what's going on, Whitey?
Hey, Boom Boom, welcome back. What's up, Gio?
What's going on, Whitey?
Just pulled up to the rat race, you know. I got two quick things I want to say, and I'll hang up and listen. Number one, Kyle Juszczyk released from the 49ers. His wife's a Massapequa native. Any chance the Giants go after him, convert him to a tight end or something?
Well, and, unless she can play quarterback, I don't think that's going to happen because the Giants don't really have a fullback. So, you know, they usually have a one-back set, and they have three wide receivers on the field all the time. That's not usually the way that they play offense. So, unfortunately, I don't necessarily know that they would convert him to a tight end. I'm sure he probably could do that. I was a little bit shocked that they ended up releasing him because he had been there for 8 years, and I think he had been an important part of their you know, they're really good teams when they were good.
Yeah, and the Massapequa thing we've talked about before with the wife because of that clothing line that she was able to get an NFL license with and everything.
And Taylor Swift wore that one jacket.
That's right, yeah. So she's been out there. We've talked about that. Yeah, the 49ers, I mean, it's like a bloodletting what's going on out there. So and they have a philosophy, which is we're not going to sign these guys to that third contract, and then we're going to draft and develop and then replace, and you got to have a great GM. And you got to hit on a lot of draft picks. It's the same thing that the Philadelphia Eagles do. I mean, it really is. They lost a ton of players, too. Now, they kept some, but they lost a ton of players.
I don't know if I was surprised that Joey Bosa went to Buffalo as opposed to going playing with his brother Nick out in San Francisco. I don't know if San Francisco made a play for him or not. Joey Bosa always gets hurt.
Yeah. He's not Nick Bosa, that's for sure.
That's for sure. But Nick Bosa gets hurt, too. They both get hurt.
Yeah, but not as much as, I mean, Nick Bosa is much more productive when healthy than Joey Bosa as well.
Yeah, the 49ers have four picks in the top 100. They did get a slew of compensatory picks, but it's interesting what's going on out there. And you're right. I mean, there are certain teams in a league that know how to do it. And when New England was being run by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady was at the height, he did it better than anybody. I think Howie Roseman knows how to do it. John Lynch knows how to do it. New England knew how to do it when they had their quarterback. When you have your quarterback and you're settled on him, then you can now start looking elsewhere and how you can modify and get rid of certain contracts in order to pay that quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you let those guys go, you have to replace them and you have to do it right every single year. And it's really tough to do that. The 49ers have a lot of work to do that. But the way that Howie Roseman handled last offseason and had low contract, small contract free agents and draft picks contribute right away. Quinyon Mitchell being one in the secondary. Rookie was one of the best rookies.
Cooper DeJean
out of the draft. Zach Bond was one of those guys you brought in on a low contract. And then he ends up, they kept him now. But they let
Josh Sweat go.
Yeah. I mean, catching strays and Joe Shane's going to catch one here, but one of the things that you don't see from the Philadelphia Eagles or the 49ers is we're going to let a safety walk for $16 million a year that was a homegrown guy and then watch that guy be an all pro and then the next year sign the highest priced safety on the market.
I know, but I can't sit here and say that Xavier McKinney was great for the New York Giants. I thought he was okay.
All right.
Well, he was good. I mean, maybe he just found his place in the right defense, the right place at the right time.
But your whole philosophy was we're not going to pay a lot of money for safeties. And then you go out there and you paid a lot of money for safety. I mean, one of the things we heard was those are not premium positions, running back and safety. We're not going to pay running backs and safeties. Okay. So now what? I mean, you weren't able to replace the guy.
It's amazing that
in the draft,
we're not paying running backs and safeties. However, the running back and the safety that we had both became all pros.
Yep.
Both had career years. Mm-hmm. And both basically went on to be 10 times better player for somebody else other than yourselves.
Yeah, looks bad.
Woo!